Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Teaching Kindness, the Bullies Be Gone podcast, with yours truly, Nate Webb, the founder of Bullies Be Gone. Here on BBG, I go into all things kindness, bringing in guests and experts from all walks of life, and we are all here for one reason and one reason only, to help you and your kids get over bullies, get off social media, and love your lives. So come on in and learn how to live in a world where kindness is king. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back. It is great to be at BBG. I'm Nate Webb. Oh my goodness, as per usual, it has been a while since an episode has been made, and I'm here again to catch you guys up to speed. 2024 has been the biggest year yet for speaking, and it has made me quite busy. The last 3 months have been the busiest I have ever been as a public and a professional speaker. I've had the privilege of visiting intimate small communities and connecting with amazing kids. I traveled down to Farron, Utah through a crazy blizzard. I thought I was not going to make it through Spanish Fork Canyon. And then when I got to Farron, the amazing small rural schools, these kids were amazing. They were attentive. They soaked in all the information when I'm talking about digital safety and my experiences with bullying and just trying to help these kids believe that they're worth it. And you could see that it was making a difference to them. And having the opportunity to go to Cache County, go to Cache Valley, go to Logan, Utah, home of Utah State, my Utah State Aggies forever and forever. I got to go there 3 separate times, talking to all of the middle schools in the area, almost all the middle schools, talking to some elementary schools, and being able to talk to them as well. And seeing how much they cared and hearing parents talk about how much of a difference it made to their kids. And then being able to head out way in the middle of nowhere, really, to Manila, Utah. And being able to talk to the very small community over there as well. And I really love the small communities, the rural communities, being able to connect with those kids and have those more intimate settings where we're able to talk about how technology is making them feel and how it's affecting them. And I feel like I'm able to make a difference. And that really matters to me. Because that's the whole reason that I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the whole reason that I left my job, so I could speak to kids, so that I could speak and help impact these kids for the better. And so I've been able to also take care of my family and provide for them and, you know, make sure there's food on the table, clothes on their back, take care of our needs, keep our home. We have a house. but also be able to do what I love, to be also be able to feel fulfilled in what I do. And don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of unknowns. You know, some months are up, some months are down. It can be dicey, especially summer months. Those are coming up, and we've got to figure out what we're doing financially there because assemblies don't happen very often. But we've made big strides in business and big strides on different things so that we can keep on moving forward. It is hard. An hourly 9-to-5 job is so much easier than the self-employed thing, trying to blaze your own path or whatever. But it is so, so much more worth it, so much more fulfilling than any 9-to-5 dead-end job I've ever had. So anyway, that's me. It's been a great first quarter of the year, but I want to talk about something else today. Today, I want to talk about protecting our kids, or rather, over-protecting our kids. You see, as a 90s kid, I remember going outside all the time and going for a bike ride and just spending a lot of time outside unsupervised. Like, I would go outside. We had an old shed, and I'd grab old crap from the shed, and I said I was building a time machine and, like, you know, putting stuff together and, you know, going outside in the dirt and digging a giant hole. We had a huge backyard with a lot of dirt. We had pine trees. We had a swing set back there. And I remember during, like, the spring when the pine trees were pollinating, I would swing up on the swings, and it was a big, long chain swings. And I'd try and get high enough to where I could kick the high pine tree branches where the pine cones were pollinating, and the green dust would just go everywhere. And I thought it was hilarious. And when I go out and I do that and I climb up and just get into trouble sometimes, honestly, and maybe get hurt from time to time, scrape my knees or whatever. But it taught me resilience. It taught me to problem solve. And it kind of, it just, I don't know, it helped me be a kid. I wasn't dealing with worrying about online predators and, you know, sexual extortion and things like that when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. I did get involved with pornography when I was 14 and dealt with it clear up until I was 18 at times. But that didn't come until later in my teen years. Ironically, when I was introduced to the internet. But it didn't happen in my young years. And so, anyway, Jonathan Haidt, I don't know, H-A-I-D-T. He has a book coming out soon called The Anxious Generation. And it's all about how our current generation is struggling and how we have rewired their brains to be fearful and anxious. One of my favorite quotes from the book is that we have overprotected our kids in the real world, but we have underprotected them in the digital world. And I love that. I hate that that's a reality, but I love the way that he worded it. Because if you think about it, we go to the park, we go do our things, and we are eagle-eyes on our kids because we are hypersensitive and afraid that something might happen to them. And so we overprotect them in real life. We don't allow them to feel uncomfortable emotions. Excuse me, I'm yawning. We protect them from feeling, you know, any sort of discomfort. If they're struggling with a teacher, we take care of it for them. We don't let them struggle. And it shows because they really don't have much resilience. And then we underprotect them and don't protect them at all online. We use the smartphone as a crutch to say, hey, go parent my kid. Screens, you know, you go do my, go do the parent thing, just watch the screen, don't break the house, don't be bored. When in reality, that is messing our kids up more than anything else. And so Jonathan, he actually proposes four solutions to this whole dilemma of our kids being rewired to just feel anxious all the time. Because again, we are overprotecting them in real life and underprotecting them in the digital world. The first solution, he says, is more unsupervised play and childhood independence. Guys, we're planning out our kids' day way too much. Play dates, learning time, reading time, nap time, etc. We're not building in just boredom. You know what nerds like to say, free play. Having scheduled activities is not a bad thing per se. But you need to let your kids go outside without being supervised, not unwatched. Just unsupervised, so they can go out and be a kid, be curious, interact with the world, have some fun. We have a backyard. We live in a townhome right now, and we have a backyard. And there's a bunch of gravel in the backyard, and there's grass in the backyard. That's it. And we have a bunch of little shovels and stuff like that the kids can play with. Let me tell you what, my kids get very creative in our backyard. Holy smokes. And I love when they want to just go outside and just play and just run around and be unsupervised because, A, it helps them be creative. They imagine, helps them be creative. They imagine worlds and they become the heroes of their stories and it becomes such a fun world to be a part of. It reminds me of the movie The Bridge to Terabithia. How the main character, this boy, he starts hanging out with this girl and she basically shares her imagination with him. And that's what I imagine it's like for our kids when we give them the space to be bored and to just play. It doesn't mean you don't know where they are and you can maybe even see them, but you're not interfering. You're letting kids be kids, scraping their knees, getting dirty, learning how to be a good human. Go outside. I remember as a kid, I'd say, hey, mom, I'm going for a bike ride. Bye. I'm going to go play with so-and-so. Bye. I'm just going to go ride my bike to the park. Bye. I did that at 9 years old. Quite often. As soon as I could ride a bike, basically, I was by myself without training wheels or nothing. I was like, hey, I'm going to go. Yeah, it took me a while. Okay, don't judge. But I was like, I'm going to go. And, you know, my mom be like, okay, my mom also had six kids to watch, okay? So if your middle child, number three, is like, hey, mom, I'm going to go. Sometimes you're like, okay, you know what? You're fine. Survival of the fittest. You know, if you're gone, you're gone. Just kidding. But in all seriousness, We need to be able to let our kids have more unsupervised play and childhood independence. They need to learn how to fend for themselves, be independent a little bit. They are so dependent on us for so many things. And while that's a good thing to be liked and a good thing to be needed by our wonderful children, they need to learn how to be independent as well. Another solution that he brought forth in his book is no smartphones before high school. And I cannot agree more. When I give presentations to families, when I go to schools and do speaking gigs and whatnot, I often get the kickback from parents saying, well, my kid needs XYZ phone so that I can contact them. Because they go to trips and they have sports competitions, whatever it might be. They do these trips and I want to be able to contact them. They need to be able to contact me. And I'm like, that's fine. Give them that ability. Give them a no Wi-Fi, no internet device, a flip phone or a gab phone or a dub phone of sorts. Oh, y'all, number three. I'm so sorry. Oh, I have three kids, if you can't tell. they keep me up sometimes. But give them a dumb phone. Give them a functional something device that can give them the ability to do the things that they need to do without giving them all the access to the internet that is going to just cut them down mental health-wise and teach them to be anxious and scared and teach them that they're not worth it. That's just not good. And it's going to give them a really unhealthy relationship with their tech. And you don't want to start that off too young. So no smartphones before high school at all. And on top of that, no social media before the age of 16. And that's another thing that I recommend when I go and speak at schools, is that no social media at all before the age of 16. Because kids aren't ready for that. Now, I'll be honest, I had social media before 16, and I wish I didn't. It really hurt my self-esteem when I got social media my sophomore year of high school. So I was 15. I was 15 when I got social media, when I got Facebook. And I remember I was friending everybody, trying to make sure all the people who I wanted to be friends with in real life, I was trying to friend them on Facebook. And I remember some of them were like, oh, this is funny. Should I friend him back or should I just mess with him? And even right then, it started hurt. And then as I've been trying to run a business and different things, insecurities have run up even now as an adult on Instagram, trying to run a business, trying to help other people and seeing other people doing similar things and doing so much better than me. It feels like they have more followers and they post better and their videos are cooler, whatever it might be. They have more engagement. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I think, how on earth are we trying to get kids to not have issues on these apps? And so no social media at all before the age of 16, 100%. And the last thing is arguably the most important to me is phone-free schools. We can do a lot of work as parents, but if kids are at a place in school where it is supported for them to be on their phones all the time, then they're going to be running into a lot of issues. The school's going to be running into a lot of issues. They need to be not distracted at school. And parents, I know that you're nervous that something might happen to your kid and you need your kid to be able to contact you. Your kid having a phone at school does not make them any more safe. It actually makes them more unsafe, because if there's something crazy, some tragedy were to happen, they are a liability. They are not safer. They are more distracted because they have a phone in their pocket. And so we need to stop sending them to school with phones in their pockets because they don't need to be at school. Now, at the end of all this, Jonathan, in his book, he gives two invitations. He invites people to speak up and to link up. To speak up and talk about, hey, we don't want phones at schools. Hey, we want to delay smartphones. Hey, we want to approach technology slower, a slower approach to this technology. And then link up. Find other people that share your values. Link up with them. Build community together. It is wonderful looking on Instagram and seeing all the wonderful groups of parents and communities that have been created that share the similar beliefs. We have Wait Until 8. We have Better Screen Time. We have Protect Young Eyes. We have Live Life Bigger. We have so many wonderful people online that are trying to help other parents with these values and things. So there you guys go. I really, really think it's important for us. We need to be helping our rising generation. They're anxious. They are brittle. And they are so much more tough than they give themselves, than they think they are. But we have not allowed them to be resilient. We have not allowed them to do that. And so we need to give them more unsupervised play and childhood independence. We need to have no more smartphones before high school, no more social media before age 16, and have some phone-free schools. And link up and speak up with parents who share the same value. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Teaching Kindness. I don't know when the next episode is going to be posted. So please go back and enjoy all of my previous 100 plus episodes that I have. I think it's so cool. I've been podcasting now for like 3.5, almost 4 years. That is crazy to me. And it's so happy that I've been able to produce these episodes for your guys' benefit. And hopefully someday this might be able to, you know, help me too. But for now, I'm happy giving you guys valuable things as well. So anyway, if you guys want me to come speak to your schools and communities about this stuff, digital safety, resilience and everything, fill out a speaker form linked in the podcast description below. And always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.